This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I pulled this specially for Bobby Belt.
Oh, did you?
Wow. Well done. College Kegger here on Sean and RJ 105 through the fan. We're going to chop it up during the commercial-free expressway. 1 hour from now, Dane Brugler on the NFL Draft. 2 hours from now, Adam Schefter at 9 a.m. on a loaded hump day edition.
Hump day and Brett Boone. Don't forget Booney.
And Brett Boone at 9:20. Rangers drop the first two of this three-game set with the Chicago Cubs. They've got the game today, this afternoon. Go ahead. You were going to say?
Really quickly, yeah. You mentioned we have Dane Brugler and we've got Adam Schefter today. Both of them talking a great deal about the draft, obviously. So I want to remind you guys we're doing this real strong push, letting you guys know we're doing Draft 101 again. It is our staple draft event with you guys every year. It's going to be in our fan showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, myself. We're going to team up with DallasCowboys.com for a night of draft talk, debate, and questions. Not only that, dinner is on us thanks to Whataburger, plus plenty of giveaways. Completely free. Can't wait to see you guys at Draft 101 on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the fan. No sign-up required. You just show up, 6:45, April 17th. Can't wait to see you there.
12:30 is the coverage starting this afternoon for Rangers and Cubs. But I did this just for you. The national championship game between Florida and Houston got 18 million average viewers. 21 million was the peak. Final Four weekend, by the way, that was the most watched game since 2019, up 22%. Final weekend, the Final Four, averaged 16 million for all the games, up 21%, best in 8 years.
21?
The tournament total averaged 10 million viewers per per day on the average. And that is up 3%. But I did this for you because
I think I know why you did this for me.
You have been anti women's college basketball.
That is not true. That is
you
not
hate
true.
Women's college basketball.
That is not true.
Meanwhile, I went to every single Tennessee basketball women's game.
You did?
I went to all of them. I won a year's supply of Coca-Cola.
Yep.
Made a free throw from a reclining chair.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They were down 55% their title game.
Well,
that is the Caitlin Clark effect. Is it effect or effect?
I would say effect, probably. The way I would say it would be effect. But here's the thing.
It still had 8 million viewers. That's respectable. But, I mean, they averaged like...
Look, we went over this the other day. Paige Beckers from UConn, to me, is a more talented basketball player. Like, she's more fun to watch. She's a more intriguing personality to me. But Caitlin Clark was new. Caitlin Clark was doing something that hadn't really been seen frequently in the women's game, and so it kind of drew people in. It had the rivalry effect with where it was kind of Caitlin Clark against the world. It doesn't feel like that with Paige Beckers. And so that kind of aspect of it, I think, is what brought people in. But the reality is the viewing public generally doesn't watch. And so after for lack of a better word, after that novelty kind of wore off for the viewing public, they went back to their normal viewing habits. That's what we got.
That's exactly what it is. I think there's no doubt about it. That's where we sit right now when it comes to that. But I mean, still, it was a great number. Even still, 9 million, that's a really good number.
Look, I will genuinely go to a Dallas Wings game next year.
Well,
when Paige Beckers is here, because she's that entertaining and she's that.
And they're going to get her.
But even with me, like the way that I would say, yeah, I'll go do that. And I always had the thing about Caitlin Clark. It still makes sense to me that would have been a bigger pull than this year.
Because it was
because of the way that the viewing public would get they get worn down by it, essentially.
You had Haley Van Lith last year, transfer to TCU. This year, it's Olivia Miles. And that was all I needed to know. She is for go. She's like, I'm not going to WNBA. I'm going to stay in college. You make more money as a women's basketball player in college than you do in the WNBA. That's a problem.
Because she was Notre Dame, right?
Yeah. She's transferred to TCU. TCU put Texas and Texas A&M in a body bag, but go ahead, you were going to say.
No, I mean, that's the, you know, this is what, the third year in a row that they've gotten a really notable transfer there. Mm-hmm. So TCU's cleaning up in the women's game because they had
Cavender.
But that was also, I don't know how good she was. Wasn't that more
she didn't
just
play?
So it was more just a draw of like her personality or her social presence.
Well, no, like she transferred, but she never played. Remember, she transferred.
But
then
she wasn't good either. Like, right? Or she's okay.
She's
but
a good player.
She was not. She was
not Haley Van Lith.
Or
Olivia Miles.
Any of those.
Yeah, she's not one of those. Not as good as either one of those two. But, yeah, she was a good player.
So there's your 3 minutes of women's basketball.
There you go. But speaking of the Horned Frogs, they are part of a meme that is circulating. This is a shot right at you. And probably at Peyton, too, because Peyton's also an A&M fan. And a Texas fan. And a Texas Tech fan. In the last 6 years, Houston, TCU, Texas Tech, and Baylor have played for the Natty in either football or basketball. In the last 6 years, all those schools have played for the national championship at some point in football or basketball. Baylor, Houston, TCU, and Texas Tech. Meanwhile, Texas has not played for a Natty in either sport in over 15 years, and A&M has not played for one in 85.
Okay, so the Texas Tech was
that what? Was men's basketball, like 2019, right? They lost to Virginia.
Yeah, and then Baylor.
Baylor won it in 2020. They beat Gonzaga.
Yeah.
TCU men's football. Men's football. Football. TCU football.
Yeah, and I mean, the crazy thing about all that is TCU gave up the most points of any of them.
They really did. I think because then they gave up more.
Houston gave up about as, in fact, what
no,
was the.
No, TCU gave up 50, 65, right?
That's how much Georgia scored. So TCU and Houston gave up the same amount of points.
And then, so Baylor, Tech, TCU, and obviously Houston. But that's it. There is no rhyme or reason to that. That's why I've always thought that Texas is the most underachieving athletic department in the country. There's no reason that the University of Texas should not be in a national championship game in football or basketball more often than they are.
Look, everybody, I think it's somebody hit the nail on the head 5-6 years ago when they made this comparison to me, and it's true. The Texas Longhorns football program, in large part, it's the college Cowboys. It is. Where you're just
coddled.
Like, no, where you're just like, you guys should be better. Like you guys should, yeah. And you're such a big brand, and there's so many different resources you have. You guys should be better. Luckily, they're getting there. Sark has been amazing for this program. I didn't like the hire when they hired Sark initially. But then, honestly, I heard Sark on with G-Bag, and I heard him talk about some of his struggles and where he had come and the way that he viewed program building. And I was like, all right, I think I'm sold. I think I can buy in on this. And he's been fantastic. And like we mentioned earlier this week, I think it's reached a point where Texas is inevitable. That football team's going to win a title sometime in the next 3 years.
The Texas one?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think they will. It seems like they feel like they're where Michigan was a couple of years ago.
Yep.
Same
sort of standing.
And Michigan lost to TCU that year.
Yeah.
You know, in the Final Four. I think, you know, Texas is kind of like in the same spot. Speaking of Texas, they might be landing one of the best offensive linemen in the country, and as a shot to Notre Dame. This is Felix Ojo. He is a offensive lineman, one of the top prospects. He just got five-star status across the board. He was a four-star guy, and he just got five-star across the board. And on the day he did that, he tweets out, "I will no longer be visiting Notre Dame on the 10th. He's like, "Nope, not bothering Notre Dame anymore. Putting him in their place." He goes to Lake Ridge. So Peyton's old stomping grounds.
Peyton Russell's Lake Ridge.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're not. You didn't go to Lake Ridge, did you?
Yeah, Mansfield High.
No, but
we just, you're OG.
We just claim every program from
Peyton's Lake. Peyton's Lake.
Peyton's Lake Ridge. Whatever.
Peyton's Lake Ridge. So he might be going to Texas. He's now unanimous five star. So we'll see where he winds up going. What is this Brock Heward story?
This is pretty cool, and I think this will resonate with you specifically, Chop. Brock Heward, who has been in the number two booth for Fox's college football coverage, it's going to look a little different for Fox in 2025 because Brock Heward is leaving. He is stepping away from his role calling college football games, and he is doing so after he announced on his podcast that he's making the move to be the head coach of his son's high school football team. He said, "I'm going to be the help his son's high school team, not the head coach." He said, "I'm going to be the tight ends coach at Valor Christian High School." And it talked about how basically he didn't want to see the years completely slip by without him getting a chance to work with his son and be around his son and be at his games. He said, "I'd like to still do broadcasting down the road, but for these years, these formative years, my son's going to be a sophomore. These are the years I'll never, ever, ever get back, and I'm going to jump into it." I think this is a nice story right here, Chop. Because that's the thing. I think when you're willing to say, you know what, and look, Brock Heward is in a position where he's made money to throughout his career where he can probably afford to, just say, "I'm stepping away from my career." But a lot of people can't walk away from their careers. Look at Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady couldn't walk away from his career. It looked like it cost him his marriage. In this instance, it's something where I like Brock Heward saying, "You know what, I recognize what matters here."
Yeah.
And I'm going to... Maybe I'm not going to get back to the booth and get to the same spot that I was, but I want to spend these years watching my son play football.
I mean, that's cool. Is he going to give up his radio show too? He does like a daily. He's like afternoon drive in Seattle.
So he had been. Let's see here. They said the 48-year-old Heward, this is awful announcing, joined Fox in 2019 after a stint at ESPN. Also served as a sideline reporter for UFL games on the network, in addition to co-hosting Brock and Salk with Mike Salk on 710 ESPN in Seattle. So it doesn't say that he's quitting that show. So I would imagine he's still doing the radio show, but I don't know. That's a morning show, isn't it, for him?
I don't know if it's morning or afternoon. You would think it would be an easier life not doing the radio show and doing the games, right? I guess you're traveling more. But
you're traveling more. I would imagine the prep and the production meetings and stuff, it probably cuts into it more.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean, that's good for him if he can afford to do it.
Do you ever feel like you're missing too much, or do you think you do a pretty good job of balancing Lucas stuff?
Well, and Julian too. They got a lot.
Is Julian playing athletics now?
Not in high school. He's in middle school, but yeah, he plays like club select stuff.
So with both of them, then, do you ever feel like, man, I wish I could carve out more time, or do you think you do a pretty good job of like, hey, I prioritize where I need to so I can be there?
I try to make sure that I'm there. Like tonight, right? Luca has a doubleheader tonight.
I mean, I called you last night. We were going through stuff, and you're like, "Hey, can I call you back? I'm pitching him.
Yeah,
I'm pitching to my kid right now." I was like, "Yeah, just give me a buzz back."
Like, Luca's got a doubleheader tonight. I'll probably watch the Mavs game on my phone.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know how to sign into my for some reason all my apps got signed out of, and I have no idea how to sign into my DirecTV, and it locked me out. I was able to watch it on the computer last night. That was weird. I felt like a cop in the car with my big laptop up there in the truck.
Your little FBI surveillance van.
Like, I was sitting at practice. I was watching practice from, from behind the fence. And I was like, what's going on? I felt like a cop doing that. But I got to figure out how to slide back into this thing. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I think, I try to do as good as I can.
No, you.
Like I said,
you
I'll watch the game on technology.
It reminded me. Brock Heward reminded me of you because I know that's always a priority for you, where you're shifting your schedule around for it.
What do you want to see from tonight? From Luka versus the Mavericks, and we chop it up and a ticket giveaway during the commercial-free expressway next on 105 Through the Fan. You have reached the commercial-free expressway here on Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. We are going to chop it up coming up in 20 minutes. We have got a ticket giveaway, and Bobby is already coming over to this side. What's wrong?
Peyton's going to come in here, and he's going to log me into the text message. Okay, so here, pull back the curtain a little bit.
Pull it back, baby.
Our text messaging system has changed or adjusted, and my login...
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doesn't work yet, and so I can't get logged in to read the text until Peyton comes over here. And Peyton's going to be generous enough to come over here and sign into his so that I can read the text messages. But we can still talk about Luka and the Lakers and everything else before that.
It is tonight. Luka Doncic returns to the American Airlines Center. Ticket prices. How are they looking?
Dude, okay, so last night when I was looking on one of the ticketing sites, it said that the get in the door price, like the cheapest ticket for one, was $280.
$280 to get in?
For one. Just one ticket. So if you want two, it was a few hundred. Thank you, Peyton. It was a few hundred. Now, what I looked at was I want the best seats. I sorted by best seat available just to see. Dude, you go by best seat available, two tickets are like $5,000 a night. And that's not even courtside. That is lower level fifth row or something. That is $5,000 for two tickets. And you know how when you get up there and sometimes you'll see people price gouge and it'll say, they'll rate the quality of the deal and they'll be like, bad deal, or like overpriced, or they'll scale it. Every single one of those $5,000 packages said awesome deal, 10 awesome deal, which means that that's like an affordable rate that they're putting up
there. All right, I want to know this. Okay, I'm just gonna, if you're going to this game tonight and you bought tickets on the secondary market, 877-881-1053, text the show on the Franklin Injury Returns fan text. What do you do for a living and how much money do you make? That's what I want to know. Like, because I guarantee you that there are people going to this game spending $5,000 for two tickets that are putting this all on credit and will take a year and a half to pay this off. Right? I mean, like, that's...
469 said... this is Kid Muse, said MVP Luke and I will be in the 200s tonight, and it was $600 each.
Okay.
Now, also, when did you buy them? Because I wonder, is it going higher the closer we're getting to the game?
Probably. But if you're going to buy these tickets tonight, and you're not a corporation, and you're not a millionaire, what do you do for, like, what do you do? Where do you work? What Peyton wants to know.
214, despite being a loyal fan, the Mavs grandma is not stupid. She sold her tickets for $800 each. Woo! That's better than the $5,000 with the ticket fees and everything else. 469 says 268 minimum now on StubHub. Kid Muse says our tickets were from the Mavs that they released a week ago. 214 says this is a tax write-off. 214, wife got sweet tickets from her work tonight. What is it? She must be employee of the year to get that.
Yeah.
Or it's a punishment. You got to go watch the Mavericks.
Right. Yeah. 130K a year, manufacturing manager. I'm going to the game. Okay. All right. You know, I mean, I guess if you bought early, I'm not going, but I took a vacation day tonight. I'll be able to watch. If you're not going, maybe you bought the tickets early and you know, if you're buying them late.
972 said, had season tickets for 26 years and sold both my seats in the top level for $340 a piece and paid for the season, basically.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Look, it's good. It's if you can get that kind of money, you return for them.
254. I bought tickets to the game tonight, $720 each. About 2 weeks ago, I sell insurance and own several group homes. Hashtag Tolo.
See, there you go. That's supplemental income, right? Side hustle.
But I mean, what is it? We had talked about this a little bit earlier. Like, what's the expectation for tonight? What do you want out of tonight's game? And I'm going to be fascinated to... I think I'm going to go down to Victory Plaza tonight. I'm not going to go to the game, but I think I'm going to be in Victory Plaza and just walk around asking people for their thoughts. What do you want to achieve tonight? What do you want to say to Nico? That's what I'll do. That Chop. I'm going to give the fans what to say. Tell me what you want to say to Nico Harrison.
You know what?
I'll play it on the radio since they'll throw you out if you say it here. So yeah. If you want to get it out there,
there you go.
I'll blast a lot further. Guarantee Nico hears it.
Bobby Belt on the street.
Come find me in Victory Plaza. I'll be hanging out there. If you're going to the game tonight and you want to come say something to Nico Harrison and potentially get on the radio tomorrow morning, I'll be standing right there in Victory Plaza by the Dirk statue or by those steps. I'll be standing out there. You'll be able to find me. So,
all right, here we go. I bought two tickets for my daughter and her husband. Paid $485 each. Just a hard blue collar working man. Good for you.
Look at that. $214,480 a piece for 200 level. Bought them 3 weeks ago. Mental health manager.
Right. See, you know, I think the time was like 3-4 weeks ago. Because now $510,000. My goodness.
817 broke small business owner, and I wouldn't go if you gave me the tickets.
There you go. All right. So your expectations for tonight are what?
I think, and we had
it'll be 85% Luka fans, like Luka fans
100%,
first.
100%, because there's certainly, we've seen a couple of them better, 98% Luka fans.
And they will cheer when Luka scores.
That's their priority.
And they will be silent when the Lakers score if it's not Luka.
I think it's going to sound like a road game for the Mavericks tonight.
Do you have any FOMO about not being there, or do you not care?
I don't want to see it. Because I'll be honest, I know tonight this is going to make me depressed. Seeing him back here. Now here's the question. Do they give him the video tribute?
They better.
Do they?
If they
do
don't.
Do they dare?
Listen, if they don't, you think that the ownership group has been hated on till now? What do you think is going to happen if they don't?
So I don't think there's a way they can win. Yeah, I know, the massage parlor. Yeah. 682, I own a massage parlor. I got my tickets for free, if you know, you know. Here's the thing. I mean, it cost you something. So here's the thing for me with Luka Knight is that if they do play a video tribute, which, because you're right, if they don't give him one at all, people are going to say you're petty, you're this, you're that. If they give him a video tribute, that will be the most nitpicked video tribute of all time. And they will they will find, you are going to have something in there that will be interpreted as a slight, even if it was not meant to be. And there's no winning for them tonight. This is going to, they've been dreading this night. This is an awful night for Nico Harrison and Patrick Dumont.
You better have taken that video. If you made a tribute video, you should have gotten all your diehard season ticket holders in a room, said, watch this video. And just destroy, please destroy the video for us. We want this thing to be so well done. You need a team of scientists to look through this video and comb for subliminal messages. That's what you need for this. They got to do one. They've got to do a video. You can't get away. If you don't do a video, you are looked at as the most petty organization of all time.
Look, I'm going to do you a favor right now, Dallas Mavericks.
I'll bet you the Heat. Did Jimmy, they here about to, he already went back to Miami.
Yeah, I remember.
I bet you they did. I don't know. I bet you they did a video for
him. I remember
him.
They were talking about, would there be one? Let me see if they actually did one.
I mean, he went to like 4 East Finals with them in 5 years and an NBA. And
yes, they did do
and
one.
And 2 NBA Finals, right?
Yeah.
And another one, yeah.
They did do the tribute video for him. 817, $3,500 for a pair in lower bowl. I'm code compliance manager and huge Lakers fan. Hashtag thanks, Nico. Yeah, that's what we get out of this. But
you know, if you ask me what a code compliance manager, I don't even know what that job does.
Are you up to code? So I would assume that's something to do with
that's good.
Building code? Yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing. I really have no idea.
OSHA. Very OSHA.
Here's the thing. We're going to do the Mavericks a favor. If you're listening right now and you work for the Dallas Mavericks and you have access to this tribute video, send it to me, okay? Bobby.belt@odyssey.com. You guys clearly have some blind spots over there. I will tell you if there's anything offensive in it.
So just, and have you change it in the next
I'm gonna
10
say,
hours?
Yeah, I'm going to say you just need to, I don't care if it looks like a weird edit, you're going to have to just cut that part out because that's going to look like you're throwing shade. There, it's going to be, now, does Nico even show his face tonight? He did in L.A., but that was L.A.
I would say he's there, yes.
In the tunnel again?
He will be in the tunnel. He will not show his face. If he shows his face in the crowd, I mean, I'd give him credit.
Oh, I'd I would
give
too.
Him credit, but you know what they're going to say if he does?
What?
You're trying to steal Luka's moment.
Or you're trying to rub it in his face.
Yourself.
This is exactly what I mean. There's no winning.
There's
for
no
them
winning.
Tonight.
That's the problem. There's no winning. He needs to be there. He should be in a seat. He should be able to be in a seat. But the fact is that if he shows up and he hasn't been in a seat the entire time since the trade, if he shows up, they're going to think that he's trying to steal Luka's moment by making himself the attention.
254, I don't know if I can stomach watching tonight. I'm completely torn on how to root. Now, we did have some feedback on the YouTube earlier. I can't remember who had said it, but somebody on there had said, any true Mavericks fan is not cheering for Luka. He's not here anymore tonight. You're crazy, blah, blah. It's like, all right, well, you're in for a rude awakening tonight then.
Yeah, then what you're going to realize, that fan, what those fans are going to realize is that there are no true Maverick fans then, if that's the case. If that's your threshold for what a true Maverick fan is, then you're going to find out that there's a lot less than you thought, because you could be a true Maverick fan and still have your favorite player be Luka.
Oh, especially the way it ended.
Yeah, especially the way it ended.
He never wanted to leave.
It's okay to have your favorite player play for another team. It happens all the time. There are plenty of Cowboy fans whose favorite player is Patrick Mahomes. There's nothing wrong with that. Ideally, it's on your team. But when it was a situation like this, where you had your favorite player, could you imagine? Are you trying to tell me that in 2013, if the Mavericks traded Dirk, that you wouldn't have been a Dirk fan elsewhere? Of course you would have.
Some of the answers on the fan text of what you want out of this game tonight between the Lakers and the Mavericks, 6:30 on ESPN. 972, I hope Luka drops 80. 972, Luka 60 points and Mavs win. 469, Nico needs to show up and take his lick. I would hope that's how Nico would view it. Like, I would hope Nico would say, you know what, I made the trade. I'm going to stand on it. I'll stand here when he comes back. I'm not going to hide from him. But he's hid for the last 2 months.
Yep.
He's hid from the media. He's done everything else. 469, bought two tickets, lower bowl, $2,000 total. I don't have a job. If you know, you know.
I don't know.
Got that, Reggie.
Oh, I get you. my guy, Laker Mike, good friend of mine, text. Thanks, Nico. You're the man.
Gosh.
See, that's the thing. You know, the worst possible fan base that doesn't, the fan base that doesn't need a reason to have a leg up on you just now has one forever.
Yeah.
You didn't need to give the Lakers any reason to have a leg up. They have a leg up on everybody.
682, 80 is going for 40 tonight because all the attention is about Luka being done dirty, and he was done the same.
It would not surprise me if 80 didn't have a great game.
Oh, my gosh. 817, they need to do a compilation of all the complaining, crying, and technical fouls.
Dude, I'll tell you what.
Dude, if they did if they did that, I would kind of respect the full lean into being a villain.
That is full heel. That actually would be. I. You know what? Nico, Patrick Dumont. Whoever's over there, please do that. Please lean into the heel role. Actually, America loves a good heel.
If they would own up to, like, we hated him.
I would totally respect
them. I would not like them. I would have more respect for them if they just owned up to, we hated him. We didn't want him.
I would have so much respect. I would be like, you know what? Solid. Solid work. The Rock, that's something The Rock would do in peak Rock heel mode. John Cena doing that right now? Cena might do that right now? That would be amazing.
Mark Stein yesterday, by the way, had a report that I saw Sean on Twitter thought was kind of convenient, the timing, given Luka's coming back to town and some of the Mavs smearing that they've done through the media before. According to NBA insider Mark Stein, this is from Hoops Wire, the Mavericks thought Luka Doncic, quote, isolated himself from the rest of the team during his rehab stints. This is what he wrote. The Mavericks likewise asserted that Doncic, during his various rehab stints this season, isolated himself from the rest of the team. They recoiled at the insistence that all of his rehab work would be administered by Luka's own personal body team that he assembled after the 22-23 season, rather than Mavericks staffers. From the Doncic perspective, mind you, it was the Mavericks who had actually done the isolating. And look, I mean, after 22-23, that was the 23-24 season. That was last year. You got to the NBA Finals with Luka's body team, so maybe shut the hell up.
I mean, LeBron spends $1 million a year on his body.
Tom Brady did it.
Yeah, Tom Brady does. I mean, that doesn't matter. Corey Seager and about, I don't know, 40% of all major leaguers have their own personal, like, hitting or pitching coach that they sometimes go to.
Mm-hmm.
So Bassick's dad is, he's a very renowned pitching coach. My kids go to him every now and then. But there are major leaguers who, when they come to town, when they come to play the Rangers, they go to him like during the day, like, hey, just watch me throw for a little bit.
Yeah, you have people you trust.
You know, I worked with you when you worked with me when I was a kid. What am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and bam, like there was a guy, I can't remember who he played. I think it was the A's. He gained like 4 miles on his fastball on one session just because he tweaked a mechanic. It's okay. You don't have to just use the coaches that you use that you have at your disposal with the team. There are a lot of major leaguers, plenty on the Rangers, that have their own private hitting coach they will go to, and sure, you'll see them in the outfield before the game if you get there early enough working with them. It happens with every team. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I mean, Nico would have traded Dirk for working with Holger.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, that was, everybody would always, if Dirk's shot's off, bring Holger in, let him come here. Daniel Tony on the YouTube says, Nico is Vince, Luca is Bret Hart. I don't know wrestling enough to know if that reference is correct, but.
Man, see, Vince would do like, yeah, that would be great. Like, that would be awesome if they did that. I would actually totally respect that if they just did that one. I'd be like, you know what? You guys are idiots, but that you are leaning into the heel role. Let's go.
The problem is these thinly veiled attempts to make it seem like this was a basketball decision. That's the problem. Just lean into, we didn't like him, and I would at least respect it. I think you were stupid still. I wouldn't agree with you, but I would respect you a little bit more.
Well, more people in the building root for Luka to go for 80 or for the Mavericks to win and AD to go for 40?
Luka to go for 80.
You think so?
Uh-huh. I mean, the fan text wants that.
Yeah.
This is, they've been waiting for this one day. It's 82 games. It's a season that's already pretty much lost. I think a lot of fans are just compartmentalizing it and saying it's one game. They can lose one game. They can feel it for one game. They need to lose this.
But that's the thing. If the Mavs win tonight, they clinch a play-in berth. You know, it's like you're going to have a lot of fans torn in between. Like, do I celebrate? Do I not?
Yeah. Are you torn? Are you torn?
No. I mean, no. I'm all for Luka.
Are you torn?
No,
I'm not torn. The fan text doesn't torn. I don't think anybody's like, damn, I got to get into this play-in.
Right.
They want Nico to hurt.
And Bobby Marks he made a good point yesterday when he joined us.
817, Luka's gone. Please get over it. Go Mavs. That's fine, 817. Just know you are in the 2%.
You're in the 2%. Bobby Marks made a good point yesterday. He's like, the reason they're not tanking, it doesn't make sense to tank this year, is the last time they did it is if it was a protected pick, right? So they got inside the top whatever. Top 11, top 10.
Yeah, it was a borderline thing where if they missed that, if
they would have conveyed it.
10 versus 11, they lose the pick.
Yeah, so they wanted a tank for that. This year, it's just, hey, we've got a 5% chance of getting the first pick.
469 makes a good point. For the fans, this is the funeral. They've mourned. Tonight is their funeral. This is their chance to, or the memorial, it's the chance to celebrate Luka's life.
You'll be able to move on. Fans will be able to move on more so after tonight, I think. This is it. They're exactly right. This is the funeral. Wow. Great way to put it. All right. Mavs, Lakers, Luka returns tonight. 105.3, the fan. And now it is time to hook you up.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call our number 10 right now at 877-881-1053. Wins a 4-pack of tickets to see the Arlington Renegades on Saturday, April 19th at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. That's call our number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. We've got Dane Brugler coming up at 8 o'clock. We have got Adam Schefter at 9, Brett Boone at 9:20. But as we do on Wednesdays, hump day. We chop it up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
And this HOV portion of the Expressway brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Plano. You know, yesterday, Bobby, it was the dire wolf. Today, it is the woolly mammoth. Now, I had some people.
Zach Wolchuk.
I had some people text in yesterday at this same place, this Colossal Biosciences, right here in DFW, has already been working on a woolly mammoth. So I did a little digging on it. And indeed, they have. They have already made the woolly mouse. So they're trying to figure out a way for the woolly mammoth to actually be genetically re-engineered. So they're making these mice that have shaggy fur and the ability to withstand the cold. So they basically have these genetically engineered mice, look at this, that have woolly mammoth fur. So they're seeing how this actually works.
Wait, so that's one mouse. That's not.
Those are two. That's one and two.
I was going to say, that's one mountain one, right?
Yeah, that's one. Two mice.
Yeah, that's that looks like a very intimate moment between two woolly mice.
So this company was founded in 2021. They employ 130 scientists. They are a de-extinction company. They have on their wish list is the woolly mammoth, the dodo bird, the thylacine, which sounds very prehistoric, Jurassic.
Spell that for me. I'm going to look
it up. T-H-Y-L-A-C-I-N-E.
Okay, let's see what this thing looks. Oh, that's Tasmanian tiger.
Oh, yeah. Tasmanian tiger. Is the Tasmanian tiger the saber tooth?
No, this is, I can't really turn my screen, basically looks like a dingo with stripes.
Jurassic Park yesterday tweeted, "We promise nothing can go wrong here." About this,
I've heard that one before.
I know. This is brutal. I will stand on a mountaintop, talking about how dangerous this is. We do not need woolly mammoths.
Dude, what if you know how like we're kind of concerned right now with the AI takeover? How quick that's happening? Yeah. That is something where I think you know we're probably going to do ourselves in here in about 10 years with woolly mammoths and AI. Like,
yeah,
we've got the prehistoric age, then we got the future. They're just going to eliminate the in between. They're going to take us out, and then they're going to live in harmony.
I'm pretty petrified about all that. I'm not scared they're going to take us out. It just seems like they're being way too cavalier.
Which does concern you more? Bringing back old animals, like if they could bring back every one of those or other things, does that concern you more, or the AI getting too out of control and just you know
AI
owning us?
AI can start a nuclear war, I bet, tomorrow.
Yeah,
they could just take over the nuclear codes. That scares me. Like this thing. This is more like, hey, do we really need this? Like, you know, they reintroduced wolves to Colorado. Nobody's got a dog anymore there. The dogs are all gone. They're just dead. I'm exaggerating. But, like, do we really need this?
It's like Cleveland or whatever.
Yeah, like, do we really need this? It just seems like it's unnecessary. And as they said in Jurassic Park, dude, they had their chance.
Yeah.
They were selected to be gone. The Ice Age got rid of these things. We don't need a dire wolf. The woolly mammoth... That's a different story. All right. There's a lot of evidence that we killed those off because it took like 18 months for them to give birth.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be that worried about.
I'm not worried about woolly mammoth. They're cute to me.
I don't think I'd be that worried about just in general some of the animals you're talking about. Because, yeah, they've already gone extinct once before. Like, I'm supposed to be worried about some animal that couldn't stand up to the climate of Fargo? No, not worried about it.
All right. This farmer just celebrated his 125th birthday, or so he claims.
Mm.
His name is Marcelino. He turned 125 on April 5th. He lives, he was born in the remote district in Peru. He has a government-issued photo ID, lists his birth year of 1900. This guy, this photo I'm seeing, I mean, this is an old man, but he looks great for 125. Holy cow, he looks good for 125. So, if I were to tell you that you could live to be 125 years old, and you were relatively healthy, you had, you know, you weren't drooling all over yourself, you weren't like my dad. My dad lived a miserable existence at the very end. An absolute miserable existence. He was in a bed. He couldn't speak. He couldn't feed himself. He wore a diaper for like the last 3 years of his life. It was all. I would not wish that on my worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could be 125 years old and relatively healthy, A, would you like to live to be 125? And B, this guy was 4'3". How many inches of height would you be willing to give up to get there?
It's like you're punching a little person.
How old was your dad?
He was young, man. He was 70. He was 78.
78. But just think about, like, even though that's relatively young, just think about how long you spent with your dad or just the time you spent with your dad and his existence.
I mean, 78 is a full life.
50 years longer than 50 that?
50 years longer. 50 years longer.
No, I don't need to go that long.
Man, I'd love it.
I don't need to go that long.
If I could be healthy, I want to hang on. If I could be healthy, if I could still walk, I could still feed myself, I could still talk.
Well, no, you're not going to be able to walk to the extent that you want to at 125. You're just not.
You don't think I can play golf?
No. I think healthy is different from like active. You're not going to be as active as like a 60-year-old at 125.
That's true. Like, could I still go to a casino?
Yeah.
Then I'm in.
But you can only play slots, really.
That's fine. I think at that point, you know, I want to just be able to hit that button.
Yeah. You would have to have a podcast or something because you could tell so many stories because you were actually there, you know.
Hey, back in the day. Let me tell you about the time I rizzed up this young thought.
Could you imagine using all the old school terms?
By the way, the oldest verified person in the history of the world was a French woman who's 122.
Do you believe this? They's 125.
No, I don't.
I don't either, because back then, like, if you're in a remote district, you could be like, you could not have a calendar. It might be a situation where in 1900, you didn't have a calendar. My grandmother, they said her birthday was April 1st. She's admitted, we really have no idea when I was born.
Oh, so it was like it was a bit. April 1st, Fool's Day.
It was an at-home birth. Like, nothing, like just had the baby, went back to work the next day in the sweatshop or wherever they work.
That's why Eric doesn't know how old his kids are.
Right. Absolutely.
Because the at-home birth.
At-home birth. Yeah. Well, no birth certificate or whatever, but the birth certificate was gotten like weeks later. It was, and they just said, I think April 1st.
That was the oldest, that would be the oldest man ever recorded outside of the Bible, obviously, Methuselah, but out of like recorded record, verified record, that would be the oldest man by 9 years.
Methuselah is a man?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Got a feminine ending, the A.
You're just thinking Medusa.
Yeah.
I think is what you're thinking.
But it's now, how old was Methuselah?
939, I think. Let's look at
on the Julian calendar.
I mean, Julian was not around back then. Oh. Methuselah was, how old was he? Oh, he was 969.
Well.
Nice.
Well.
Yep, I just missed it. But the oldest living male verified was 116. So this would be 9 years longer. I'm not buying it. Like, we find that 114 really seems to be the max for men. And then you've got a couple who've gone a little bit over. But you've got a bunch of people who've died right around 113, 114. So I'm not buying this.
All right. I don't buy it 125. I mean, the guy's over 100. There's no doubt about that. You can take one look at this guy. He's easily over 100 years old.
Do you have his picture up?
Yeah.
Let me look at him.
I mean, he's over 100 years old.
Yeah. I mean, he's old for sure.
He's an old man.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's active. But kudos to him. I would do it. If I could have.
He was on the Warren Commission.
I could live to be 125, and I still won't see a Cowboys Super Bowl. That's from the 469 of the Franklin Injury Attorneys fan text. We know in other countries they mess around with birth certificates. Look, that's fair. I mean, the amount of people who are like in Major League Baseball even who have lied about their age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to.
You know which case I always think of when I think of somebody lying about their age in baseball? Danny Almonte.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And it's a Little League baseball one. That's the one that I always default to.
Yeah. That's true. All you got to do is check to see if this guy was married. No married man can live to be 125.
Dude, that's
Ooh,
true.
That's very, very true. All right, chopping it up here, 105. Fan. Have you guys watched White Lotus?
I watched the first season, and then I tried the first couple episodes of season two, but I couldn't get into it.
Nope. Have not tried it yet.
Aiden, thumbs up, thumbs down. Have you seen White Lotus? All right, thumbs down. So we have not finished season three. We have one episode left.
Time out really quickly.
Uh-huh.
This is what's stunning. You remember we're talking earlier in the show about the Versailles or Versailles. I don't know which way they pronounce it in that particular instance because it's the Jewish wedding floor that collapsed. We talked about that earlier. I showed them the video. They'd never seen it before. So I showed it to them during the break. It was in May 2001. And Aiden went, dang, I wasn't even born then. You guys should have just seen the life leave Choppy's eyes.
Oh, God. All right, so White Lotus. I enjoy the show. It's gotten progressively worse. I thought the first season was really, really good. The second season had a lot of intrigue. This one's been slow. Now, they've got a good cast. They got Parker Posey in it. They've got the bad guy from The Patriot.
Oh, gosh.
Did he die?
Yeah, what's his name?
Isaac. Something Isaac. Jonathan Isaacs, maybe? Not Jonathan Isaacs. Jonathan Isaacs in the NBA.
Chris Isaac.
Chris Isaac. No, that's not Chris Isaac either. And it's got Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Jason Isaacs, yeah.
Jason. And then it's got Arnold's kid, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got some moments to it. I think it's generally a good show, but it was a little slow. They could have done this in a two-hour movie. They could have done this season in a two-hour movie. They didn't need eight episodes.
This is season three or four?
This is season three.
214 says season three is the best one. It's a pressure cooker. Finale was kind of a letdown.
All right. See, it's just moved too slow. There's too much unnecessary stuff going on in it. But the creator is a guy named Mike White. No, not the former Cowboy.
No, Mike White, School of Rock.
Yeah, maybe.
He was the writer of School of Rock with Jack Black. He played Jack Black's roommate in it.
This guy can blank right off as far as I'm concerned. All right. This is what he told Variety. There was complaining about the show. There's no plot. That part I find weird. Part of me is like, bro, this is the vibe. I'm world building. If you don't want to go to bed with me, then get out of my bed. All right? Enjoy it. If you don't want it, then get out of my bed. You know what I mean? Don't be a bossy. Get out of my bed. Don't come home with me. Don't get naked with me. Get out of my bed.
Anything else you want to add to the drop list?
And I'm like, dude, you could just blank right off. Well, like, you seriously can.
I'm agreeing with him on this.
Why?
Like, I haven't even seen the show, but I do get the idea of, like, I'm trying, like, when he says I'm building a world, like, if he's constructing a narrative and he's constructing and he's working towards something, and it's like, if you want to be around for what I'm building here and what I'm ultimately working towards, cool. But if you're going to complain about it and you just want, like, no, I want these one-offs and I want the payoff right now, all right, well, then, like, that's not what my project is, and you can just stop watching.
But here's the thing. Each season's different, right? Each season. Now, there is some connection.
But he's building a universe,
yeah, I
clearly
get that.
Where this exists.
You know what? Like, don't take the you'll take what I give you attitude. You know, just stop with that. This season was mid at best.
Would he have traded Luka?
No.
Mike
this
White.
Guy's not that cool. It was not hard to hook me on season one when you had Sydney Sweeney and Alexandra Daddario.
Gosh.
That's not hard to get me hooked on a season.
I'll take a little sip.
Something is, though.
I'll watch that year. You're not creating. You're this is. I saw. The Funhouse account that always makes fun of Francesa. The Funhouse.
Oh yeah,
account.
Yeah. Back yeah. after this.
Yeah, they said they responded to this delicate genius. This is a Seinfeld. The delicate genius. You can't touch the delicate genius.
520. When you say Arnold's kid, is this the one that he had with the maid?
Honestly, I don't know.
It's not.
I don't think so.
No, this is the Maria Shriver kid. By the way.
But this guy, I mean, that Arnold's kid, I mean, he's a Schwarzenegger and a Kennedy. Like, this, he's like the first family of life.
Well, I mean,
my gosh,
like,
just stop with the you'll take what I give you.
Marketing consultant Cody text said, dude, you'll absolutely hate season three. It was dog S. We messed up by starting with season three. Yeah, you shouldn't start with season three of White Lotus, I wouldn't think. You know what did that for me, Chop? The Bear. The last season of The Bear was. I got a couple episodes in, and I was like, this is way too slow.
I don't even know what The Bear is.
Oh, my God. It's the Chicago restaurant show or whatever.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, you got to start. It's good for the first season, the first two seasons. But
last one here, chopping it up, 105 through the fan. An ex-CIA agent says he knows where the Ark of the Covenant is. And it got me thinking.
I've seen this movie.
Yeah. Would you rather know where the Ark is, where Noah's Ark is, who killed JFK? If Hitler lived and fled to Argentina.
Hold on. If we
found out that he did and he fled and he was alive handful of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or when or how they actually built the pyramids. You get to pick one.
I don't care about how they built the pyramids.
Do you care when they were built?
No.
Do you care if, like, they were built like 30,000 years ago and there was like an ancient society that got wiped out by an ice age or something?
Nope.
Or
don't care. Doesn't do anything for me. Probably, I don't know. JFK probably.
Yeah.
Probably, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think Hitler got away, so I don't want the answer to that, because then
I don't think he got away either.
Like, if I get to choose an answer and then I go, give me that answer, and they go, yeah, he didn't. Then I'm like,
the
all right,
pyramid
well,
one confuses me because this doesn't make any sense how they built it.
with the tools that they supposedly had. And it wasn't aliens. Aliens didn't build the pyramids. Egyptians built the pyramids. I think it may have been much earlier than they say. What?
Now, when I smirk like that, that's me censoring myself. No. So, but that's all I said. No, it would be JFK. But we would lose all the fun theories. So,
I think I'm cool with getting rid of the fun theories. That's what the truth.
Oh, you like them? Stop it.
I do like them, but I want to. You know, I want the truth. I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
No, you can't. Chopping it up here at 105 through the Fan. That is the commercial-free expressway in your Hump Day edition of Sean and RJ. Dane Brugler on the NFL draft. He gets you set. Coming up next on 105 through the Fan.